to Luke 11, verses 1 and 2. It says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. And many of you know the rest of those words in general. But I want to speak tonight on the subject of two words into the school of prayer. Two words into the school of prayer. I want to begin to teach a little bit while it's fresh on my heart on the subject of prayer. Back in the 1800s, Andrew Murray wrote an excellent book on prayer. I'd suggest everyone get one. It's called With Christ in the School of Prayer. Each chapter is only 4 pages long. I like that. With Christ in the School of Prayer. Excellent stuff. Deep stuff. This book was used as a theme this year at Pastor School in Hammond, Indiana. There's probably 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 of us there at times for the nationwide Pastor School. The theme was called With Christ in the School of Prayer. During that week, about 16, I think we started with 17 out there from our church. I'm not sure. Jim Olson didn't last long. About 16 of us went, and I think, I don't remember, I counted it once, I think I went to 28 classes, I'm not sure about that, in those 4 days, and I think 27, well, except for Brother Rossi's messages, so I'm going to guess 24 of the classes I went to were on prayer. Man, I was just writing down notes like crazy, absorbing things like crazy, and so on and so forth, and I've always taught that prayer is a school that you enter into that you never graduate from, that you can go as far as you want to in the subject. It is a deep, infinite subject that no one ever masters, the subject of prayer. I've been in a long time, since 1979. I begin praying first thing in the morning, having a prayer time, and then taking the Lord with me in communion during the day, a prayer life. And I think after all of these years now, I'm almost ready to get out of kindergarten and maybe get into the first grade of prayer. It is a deep, deep subject. And I read books like this, and I say to myself, Art, you don't know anything about prayer. And so I just want to share, as some of the men shared briefly in testimony when they got back, the things they learned. I want to share some things and just start a course on Wednesday nights called the School of Prayer. And notice the disciples were interested in that. Verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to know how to pray. We want you to teach us. Jesus is the teacher. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to learn about this thing about prayer. They never ever said, Lord, teach us to preach. They never said, Lord, teach us to win souls. All those things are important, but one time there was just something about the example of Jesus Christ and the communion he had with God the Father where they said, Lord, we'd like to know about that subject. Lord, teach us to pray. So hopefully on Wednesday nights the teacher will be the Lord Jesus Christ, not Pastor Cole, because like I said, I'm just maybe getting out of kindergarten. And I want to bring a truth tonight that I call two words into the school of prayer. Prayer can be deep, it can be complicated, and many people cannot even get past the first two words when it comes to the school of prayer, and by the end of the message, I think you'll understand what I'm saying. Jesus is the teacher. And we must focus on him, and we'll do this. It's going to be a little chapped up because I'm going to be gone a couple of the Wednesday nights coming up. But I don't know how far we'll go with this. I certainly wouldn't want to ever make this subject boring because this is life-giving stuff, prayer. If you'll be a man or a woman of prayer, Boy, it'll just bring life to you. It's just a conduit of life that flows from heaven into the man or the woman who decides, I want to pray. I want to learn the rest of my life how to pray. Two words. That's our lesson tonight. Two words into the school of prayer. In the very first lesson, the very first thing Jesus said when they said, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to learn about prayer. He said unto them, when you pray, say. Here's the first two words. Our Father. Our Father. This was a shocker to them. You see, there was not one single Old Testament man or woman who ever said, Our Father. You can't find a record of it. No one prior to this time had ever addressed God as their Father. They addressed Him as the Lord and God and so on and so forth. A couple of years ago, we did a series on doctrine, 2005, and I decided I'd take the 12 major doctrines of the faith and I'd spend a month on them of Sunday school lessons and write a corresponding booklet on the doctrine. And so I began with the letter A, angelology, and then anthropology, and then bibliology, and then Christology, and in alphabetical order, I went through the major doctrines of the faith and I came to a doctrine called paterology. P-A-T-E-R, pater, pater, is the Greek word for father. I'd never seen a booklet or any kind of a doctrinal book on paterology, and I thought, well, I'll write one. And I was amazed, and what a profound study that has been. I don't think I've ever been the same since. And I learned that paterology, the doctrine of the Father, is mostly a New Testament doctrine. We can't pray until we get the doctrine of paterology down in our hearts, that God is our Father. Because those are the first two words in the school of prayer. The word Father is found in the Old Testament 644 times. I went through every one of them in the Strong's Concordance meticulously, counting 644 times. Only 14 times in the Old Testament does that word Father refer to God. Usually the word Father refers to Jacob was the father of Reuben. It speaks about fathers in human terms. Only 14 times is God addressed as a father in the Old Testament. It was always just in general, except three of those were a reference to a king named Solomon. For some reason, God said in three different verses of Scripture, I will be a father to him. The other times, He spoke about being a father to a nation in general, and that nation was Israel. And there are a few general statements about him. The word father, with a uppercase F, is only found one time in the Old Testament. Capital F. Out of 644 times, there's only one capital F, Father, and that is in the prophecy, the Christmas prophecy, of Isaiah 9 and verse 6, which refers to Jesus Christ in the New Testament. It says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and that's the only time you'll see the capital F, out of the 644 times in the New Testament where it is capitalized, Father, and it's referring to the New Testament, Jesus Christ. Now, when you get to the New Testament and you study paterology, you'll find that in the New Testament, God is referred to as a father 256 times with a capital F. The point is that mainly, patrology, the doctrine of God being our Father, is mainly a New Testament doctrine. And I began to study it in the New Testament. I began to write about it, and it became so profound and so deep and so long that I finally got halfway through it and said that was it. And I literally let it sit for months and months and months. And I think it was Pastor or Brother Frank one time who came up to me and said, "We're trying to work on these booklets and get them. Have you written any more on patrology?" And I said, "No." I said, "I think I've gotten through the book of Matthew or Mark or something." And I put my pen down. I said, I can't fit this into a booklet the size. And so when we do print that booklet, if you go toward the back of it, I scribble down something that said like this. I don't know what I wrote, but something to the effect of, "This is just the start of the doctrine of patrology. It's way too much for this one booklet." And then I closed. It is just amazing how much of the New Testament is dedicated to God is our Father. God is our Father. And I began to wonder if I'm just seeing things, because, you know, it helps to have confirmation. You know, because I hate that. You know, I'm very careful when you think you come up with something new, you get really nervous about it. And I was looking for some confirmation. Am I really off the wall about this or what? And then they gave us this book by Andrew Murray from the 1800s, With Christ in the School of Prayer. Just want to read one paragraph from page 17. It says this: "This is the reason why Jesus uses here the name of Father. We never find one of the Old Testament saints personally appropriate the name of child or call God his Father. The worship of the Father is only possible to those to whom the Spirit of the Son has been given. The worship in spirit is only possible to those to whom the Son has revealed the Father and who have received the Spirit of Sonship." And I'm going to prove this with Scripture at the end of our study tonight. "It is only Christ who opens the way and teaches the worship in spirit." And so he makes the same observation here in the 1800s, that back in the Old Testament, none of them considered themselves a child of God or considered God as their Father. It's unique to us. And so here, with that in mind, with that doctrine in mind, they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he says, "When you pray, say this." And then he says two words that that's completely foreign to their Jewish thinking. Say, "Our Father." Our Father. And right here, prayer becomes very complicated for many of you. We can't get two words into the school of prayer and it's already complicated for many of us. Why? Because we can't relate to a Father. Many of you have no concept of fatherhood. You never had a father, or some of you never had a good father. Or some of you had absentee fathers, some of you had stepfathers, some of you had foster fathers. Some of your fathers were the worst person on earth that you ever crossed paths with. Some of you have been rejected by your fathers, neglected by your fathers, deserted by your fathers, ignored by your fathers. I'm sure in a crowd this size tonight, some of you have been abused by your fathers. Some of you have just known a father who is mean and strict and harsh and a hardliner. And the whole concept of fatherhood has been one that you have struggled with all of your life. So many people today in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s who still can't figure out what is wrong with themselves psychologically or mentally, it goes back to the fact that they never had a good relationship with a father. And now they end up getting saved, and they recognize how important prayer is, and they say, Lord, I want to learn how to pray. And he says, okay, the first two words that need to come out of your mouth in the school of prayer is Our Father. And right there we go clueless. We just, I don't get the concept. I believe we live on an earth where Satan attacks fatherhood so much amongst human beings because of the words Our Father that introduce us to prayer. I think Satan perhaps almost says, if I can get them so confused on what that means, they won't get two words into the school of prayer and they'll be clueless on how to pray. They won't have a concept on how to pray. Some of you to this day do not enjoy God yet because you had such a bad experience with a father who had no father. Or your father divorced your mom and deserted you, and you've lived with all kinds of guilt complexes, thinking you were the cause of your parents' divorce. You weren't. No children have ever caused a divorce. It wasn't your fault. As time goes on, I realized I had a good father. My father was a balance of love and justice. Our Father, love, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, justice. I love and respect my father, George Cole. He was not perfect. But I have the whole concept. I can get beyond two words in the school of prayer because I grew up in a home where I had a father that I knew loved me. I knew he cared about me, but I also knew that there was a particular holiness about him, a particular justice about him, And that holiness and that justice in my father was designed for my good, not for my hurt. And I saw my dad go through great adversity and even at times bizarre circumstance, and I saw him do his best. Those of you tonight who have had good fathers, you ought to thank God for them every day because you are ahead of everybody else automatically when it comes to the school of prayer. You're ahead already. Because the first concept we must have if we're going to pray properly is that we're praying Our Father. Not our judge, not our jury, not our executioner, but Our Father. Our Father. Those of you who did not have good fathers, before you really learn to pray, you must really learn patriarchy. You must really learn biblical fatherhood and what it's supposed to be. And see God now as your Father. You need to accept what the Bible says about your Heavenly Father by faith. You cannot try to approach Him with the concept of disillusionment that you grew up with the father you did have or didn't have. Our Father. before he gets to our Father, in the Sermon on the Mount, where this is also quoted, in Matthew 6, Jesus takes time at the end of Matthew 5, before he begins this subject of prayer and almsgiving and fasting. He concludes chapter 5 by saying, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Your heavenly Father is perfect. I heard one person once say, "If God is anything like my Father, I hope I never meet him." But he's not. He's perfect. He's perfect balance. Here's some things that I just want to bring to your attention about the Heavenly Father that are taught to us in the Scriptures. First of all, you are his child. It says, "Now we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." Galatians chapter number 3 and verse 26. John 1, 12 and 13 says, "But as many as received him," Christ, "to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." You are his child. You are born of God into his family. Number two, he accepts you. Ephesians 1 and verse 6 says that you are accepted in the beloved. Maybe you couldn't do anything ever right for your earthly father. Maybe he never praised you. Maybe he never complimented you. Maybe he never told you, "Good job." But there is a heavenly Father who accepts you just the way you are. He accepts you. He has adopted us, Romans 8 and verse 15. He has adopted us into his family with all the rights and privileges of his only begotten Son. The Bible says if we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That means by a joint heir, those of you that are married, everything I own is Leslie's. Everything. My wife's. She's a joint heir. I know it's impossible for our little minds to understand, but the Lord's word is true. And Jesus said, "You're joint heirs with Christ, and in eternity, everything that is mine will be yours." He pities you. Psalm 103, verse 13 says, "As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him." God pities you. He feels for you. He loves you. 1 John 3, verses 1 through 2 say, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." He bestows his love upon us. He hears us. Psalm 65, verse 2. "He cares about you, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. He chastens us, and he does it in his love." Hebrews 12 and verse 7. "He teaches you, he feeds you, he clothes you, he watches over you." There's never a time when God the Father doesn't there's never a time when he takes his eye off of you. "He comforts us, he heals us. He is for us." It says he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He wants us to succeed. He gives good things to us. Look at chapter 7, verse 11. I'm sorry, I'm back in Matthew still. Matthew 7, verse 11. He talks about the Father in chapter 5 being perfect. He talks about how we ought to pray to the Father in chapter 6, and this is all in the Sermon on the Mount. And then he says over in chapter 7 and verse 11 of Matthew, "If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" He gives good things to us. He leads us. He always has our best in mind. Whatever he allows or disallows in your life, it's for your best in mind. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. He provides for us. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. He takes pleasure in us. We are his source of pleasure. He doesn't take pleasure from looking at stars and constellations and saying, oh, wow. No, he takes pleasure from watching his children. He thinks of us all the time. In Psalm 139 and verse number 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Now that's just probably about 20 things I gave you there that the Bible says about the fatherhood of God. And again, just barely scratching the surface of the doctrine of paterology. Now perhaps your earthly father never lived up to one of those. You have got to get over the concept that God is like your earthly father, and you've got to believe by faith the Word of God and the way he describes himself, and you've got to live in it, you've got to rest in it, and you've got to enjoy it. He's your father. He accepts you. You're accepted in the beloved. He blesses us. He bestows his blessing upon his children. Now tonight, have you ever honestly believed by faith what the Bible says about God as your Father? Have you ever just recited it to him? Have you ever just said, Lord, I don't know what it's like to have a Father that accepts me, but you accept me and I receive that by faith. Lord, I don't know what it's like to have a Father that pities me, but you pity me and I accept that by faith and I thank you for being that way. Lord, I don't know what it's like to have a father who hears me because my father never gave me a minute of his time, but you hear me all the time. Faintest cry, the thoughts of my heart, you understand afar off. I accept this by faith. Lord, you've adapted me. Lord, you comfort me. Lord, you watch over me all the time. And my dad never paid attention to me, if you have to say that about your father. Maybe you don't. Those of you that have good fathers, thank God for them. I did. I don't know how well I did, but I tried to be a good father. I tried to be a good, balanced father to my children growing up. Why? Because I wanted, by my example, to at least help them understand the first concept of prayer. I wanted my children to be able to get past the first two words in the school of prayer and go on to other lessons. Our Father. Our Father. One of the greatest things about being saved is you not only receive everlasting life, but for some people, you get a father in the deal. For he said, I will be a father to the fatherless. Our Father. Our Father. Jesus, let me close, and it's very important that you just really hear this closing. If you get anything else, get what I'm going to say for the rest of the message. I studied Jesus when he addressed the Father. I think once he called him Old Father, once he called him Holy Father, once he called him Righteous Father. But 72 times in the New Testament, Jesus said these words, My Father. My Father. My Father. My Father. My Father. My Father. And you got to see these last three verses. So turn to Mark chapter 14. I know there's some distractions tonight. I don't think someone wants you to hear this. But just tough it out. Have some character. Ignore the distractions. You got to hear this. You got to get this one down. All right, you got to get this now, okay? Please look at Mark 14:36 with me. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but that what thou wilt. I mentioned he called the Father, O Father, Righteous Father, Holy Father once, My Father 72 times. And here he says, Abba, Father. Abba is a personal term. It's much more personal than even saying Father. It's like saying Dad. 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 Abba, Father. Jesus called my Father. He called him my Father. He called him Abba, Father. He called him Dad. Very personal term of endearment. But then he did something for us. And I want you to see it in Galatians 4 and verse 6. Galatians 4 and verse 6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His, what's it say? Son. Now we just read the Spirit of His Son, right? What was it? Abba. Dad. He says, now because your sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son, the same Spirit Jesus Christ had in His relationship towards God the Father, He has sent us that same Spirit in us so that we can call Him what? Crying, Abba, Father. You know what this is saying? This is Jesus saying to every one of us, I want to share my dad with you. I want to share my dad with you. See, Jesus is the only begotten. All the rest of us are adopted. God only has one only begotten Son, Jesus, born of a virgin, born by the Holy Ghost, right? The rest of us are adopted. Jesus is so wonderful. He says, my Father, my Father, my Father, my Father, 72 times. And then He takes His Spirit, Abba, Father, Dad. He says, Dad, I'd like to share this Spirit, this relationship that you and I have had. I'd like to put the same Spirit in every man or woman who ever gets saved. So they can have a Father like I have a Father. That'll get you past the first two words of the school of prayer. I can kneel down and say, my Father. And I can say it with the same confidence. Jesus Christ said it one day. My Father. You accept me. You care about me. You hear me. You love me. In closing, turn to Romans 8, verse 15. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Dad, Abba, Father. Some of you tonight need to bury once and for all the idea that God's mad at you. That God's angry with you, that God's given up on you, God stopped loving you. I've talked with people as recently as the last few weeks who in their hearts feel that way. I've disappointed God so much, I'm sure I've worn out His love. I think I shared this with you, but I said to one man a few weeks ago, I said, do you still love your daughter? He said, oh yeah. I said, even after what she's done, and she's done some pretty bad things, I still love her. I said, you think you're better than God? You're better than God. See, you can't go any farther accurately into the school of prayer without the first thing. And you get down on your knees and say, I'm talking to my Father. I'm talking to my Father. God is not some benevolent dictator. He's a loving Father. He's not some ruthless judge. He's not somebody who has a performance sheet with your name on it and say, oh, let me see how you perform first. He's not some probation officer saying, let me just wait till you cross the line, then I'm going to stick you away again. If you're going to learn how to pray, you got to get past the first two words. Oh, it's so wonderful. To labor to enter into that rest where this, I don't know when it was in my past I settled it, but oh, it's one of the most wonderful things. Say, I failed you again, but I know you're my Father. I know you're for me. Help me. Let's pray. Our Father, I pray that you'd help us. Oh, Lord, there's some here that did not have good fathers. Some of us did. And they are going to have a more difficult struggle. Lord, I want to pray for every father here as a peripheral of this message tonight to be a good father, to be a perfect balance of love and justice. To bestow the blessing on their children. To never give their children a doubt that they love them. That they care about them. But Lord, there's some here without fathers. For the greatest pain in their hearts and in their spirit tonight is what a father inflicted on them. And they're struggling. Father, I ask you to set them free tonight. That they would receive the blessing from you. Realize you accept them. Realize you care about them, you love them. And they would embrace their father tonight. Abba, Dad. And Lord, if what we're reading tonight is true, and it is, Jesus, you want me to have as personal of an access to the Father in heaven as you had. Because Father, you sent the Spirit of your Son into my heart. Crying, Abba, Father. So prayer, Lord, is all about a child going to his father. We pray that this foundation would be laid in every heart here tonight. No matter how much they've been hurt, I pray they leave the church tonight being a believer in the perfect Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.